One thing I quit doing the last couple of years is cleaning gutters. Every time I mention it, Sandy immediately hires somebody to do it for us and then sends me the bill. So maybe she's heard me tell this story too many times. A certain husband was on the roof cleaning off the leaves when he slipped and fell and came sliding down the roof for dear life right over the edge of the eave and just hung on by the gutters. And there, suspended halfway between earth and heaven, he looked to the deities above and with a plea and a cry says, "Is there somebody up there that could help me?" And almost immediately there came a voice from heaven saying, "Have faith, turn loose." He took one other long look at the ground and then back to the heavens and said, "Is there anybody else up there that could help me today?" Suffering happens. Sometimes it's explainable. Most often it's indescribable. Yet never morning wears to evening, but some heart breaks, a heart just as sensitive as yours and mine. And the real question of faith is not why people suffer. The real question of faith is what are we going to do when suffering happens? And that's what this little letter of 1 Peter is all about, tucked over in the back of your New Testament. It's an attempt to help encourage Christians to hang on when life is hard. And it has a message for us too. And I'd like to pursue it the next several weeks of this Eastertide season to talk about how do you handle the suffering moments of your life. And today I'd like to suggest we handle our suffering by faith. Hope you read 1 Peter in your devotional time. We will be dealing with it almost verse by verse through these next weeks ahead. If you have your Bibles with you or the pew Bibles in front of you, look again at this text that Josella has so adequately read for us this morning, beginning with verse 3. What I want to say is that our faith is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, faith in the resurrected Lord is more than wishful thinking. It is more than just hoping here and there as we live through life. This time last week, I had hope that my favorite basketball team would make the Final Four. I expressed that in church when I came to Easter Sunday services. I lived into that hope as I sat on the edge of my chair watching them extend a hard-fought ball game into two overtimes, but my wishes finally dissolved into defeat last Sunday afternoon. But my hope in life is built on something a whole lot more than a basketball team. My hope is built on Jesus Christ and the power, the incredible power of His resurrection. We believe today, not because of us or who we are or what we've done. We believe because God has worked in us a new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, says Peter, He has provided for us an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is our hope. There is our faith. Whatever the circumstances of your life may be that has encouraged you to come to church today, that is the ground of our hope and the ground of our lives. For our faith is grounded in one who's able to do much more than we could ever imagine or think. I like to visit New York City from time to time, and down on Fifth Avenue at the entrance of the RCA building, there's a gigantic Atlas struggling and straining, holding the world on his shoulders. And across the street at St. Patrick's Cathedral, behind the high altar, there's a small statue of the boy Jesus, maybe 8, 9 years old, just very calmly and casually holding the world in the palm of his hands. And when I get troubled, when I feel the pain, when I wonder about tomorrow, and when I question the future, I'm comforted by the thought that our risen Christ has got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's our faith. And that sustains us wherever we are. There's something else Peter said to these struggling Christians in Asia Minor. And that is that our faith is refined by the fire. Look at verse 5. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by the fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's been said that people are a lot like tea bags. You never know their real strength until you put them in hot water. And I suspect that is true. Realism is idealism that has been through the fire and gotten purified. Cynicism is realism that has been through the fire and gotten burned. You see, every crisis has both a danger and an opportunity. It can make us or break us. It can refine us or destroy us. Life is determined by the way we handle the hot spots of our lives. Now, as said of the great field preacher George Whitefield, that he prayed on a regular occasion, "Oh God, put me into one furnace after another, that my soul may be transparent so I can see God as he really is." Well, I tell you, I haven't learned to pray like Whitefield prayed. I don't often ask God to put me in another hot spot. My prayers are more like, "God, could you get me out of this one? Could you deliver me from another one?" But maybe Whitefield understood something I haven't grasped yet. That in the testing moments of our lives, we are refined in the faith. What I have learned is to lean on the firm foundation of that great hymn which goes, and we'll sing before we leave here today, "When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design the dross to consume and the gold to refine." I know nothing about the refining process, but I'm told that it includes heating up and cooling down. The flames make us tender so we can bend without breaking and be shaped without shattering. And the cooling teaches us the fine art of waiting until we're strong enough to live into our new reason for being. May the refiner's fire become our desire. Our faith is refined. Refined in the fire. One more thing, Peter says to struggling Christians in the first century, and that is that our faith fills us with what he calls inexpressible joy. Listen to verse 8. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The word is kara. It's rejoicing with a joy that is beyond expression. It's knowing that no trouble enjoys everlasting life. It's believing that this too shall pass. It is in all things giving thanks for the goodness of God. That is our faith. W. E. Sangster was one of the finest preachers of the 20th century, holding that pulpit for a long time in London, England. But in the later days of Dr. Sangster's life, he suffered muscular atrophy, a disease that gradually left him unable to speak and eventually unable to swallow. And on the Easter before his death, Dr. Sangster wrote this to his daughter. It's terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice to shout, "He is risen." But it would still be more terrible to have a voice on Easter morning and not want to shout, "He is risen." You see, kara is joy in the heart, even when it can't make it to the lips. An indescribable joy, says Peter. Because we're loved, and we love him who we yet to see. I was channel surfing the other night when I ran into an interview with Bethany Hamilton. Some of you may remember her. Once ranked as the best amateur teen surfer in Hawaii, Bethany lost an arm to a tiger shark in 2003. But the accident did not dampen her compassion or her competitive spirit. She's back surfing now, competing with all people as intensely as she's ever done throughout her life. And in that interview, here's what Bethany said. "I'm looking forward to the future. I want to show the world that I still have a life and that my life is filled with joy. I have an undying trust that God is taking care of me." You see, people of faith are people of inexpressible joy. And we handle our sufferings by faith. So pray for faith until you have it. And live by faith because you need it. And rejoice in the faith that will see you through. And if you don't have faith to move mountains, maybe you have faith to tackle a molehill. So use what you've got in order that God can give you what you need. Let us live as people of faith. Amen.